They used prophets to do that, and prophets communicated the future to the people. But even if a prophet got less than 100% accurate, they were put to death. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, tells us, "But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death." Well, you may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? Well, if a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord something and it does not take place or come true, then that message is not what the Lord has spoken. And the prophet has spoken presumptuously. Don't be afraid of him. So predicting the future is kind of a dicey thing at best. And any person who presumes to tell people the future runs the risk of angering God. So today, I'm going to do that. I want to get in on this. And so I predict to you your future. And I'm concerned and convinced also that what I tell you is 100% true and accurate, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to repeat what God said. So let me start the prediction. I predict that God will take care of you throughout this year, 2019. And I can do this with 100% accuracy, because that's what Hebrews chapter 13 says. God declared in verse 5 that was read in our hearing a moment ago, God declared, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." God has promised that if you're a Christian, He'll be with you throughout this next year. Now, what caught my attention when I first read that passage and this promise? The promise was in quotations, which indicated that it had been said previously in Scripture. And when I investigated, I discovered it had actually been said many times before. The first time was in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15, when God said to Abraham, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you." Again, God repeated the promise to the nation of Israel. And this is in Deuteronomy 31 verse 8. And God said, "The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And again, God spoke to Joshua as he prepared to lead God's people into the promised land. God promised him in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." So it appears to me that in the Old Testament, this is seen several times where God's people were repeatedly assured that God would not leave them. Now God makes that same promise to us today. Not only did He do it several times in the Old Testament, He now says it to us today. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. Now, it's possible for someone to read that promise and come up with a misunderstanding of what God meant by that. They might think to themselves that since God's going to always be with me and never leave me, that I will not encounter any difficulties and life will be smooth and I'll not be frustrated and I'll not have any troubles at all. Now then, is that true? How many of you, since you became a Christian, have never had any difficulties or frustrations of any kind? Just to let you know, no one raised their hand. Well, that's probably because that's what the Bible teaches. Jesus told you, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles. But take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16, the verse number is 33. And the reason that this is true is because though God created this world, Satan has power in this world. He is like a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. He's our adversary. And he wants us to fail. Well, it doesn't mean bad things will not happen to you. Bad things are going to happen to God's people. We're going to have trouble. And in the midst of these troubles, God is still going to be with you and for you and never forsake you. And I think it helps to understand the same promise was made to the Israelites in the Old Testament, and they had all kinds of problems. They had all kinds of troubles. But God never did leave them. And God never forsook anyone who feared Him and has kept His commandments. Take, for example, the story of Joseph, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Now, God planned great things for this young man. And He gave him two visions to indicate that one day he would become a great man. But shortly after God gave Joseph those dreams, his brothers took him and beat up on him and threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. And for the next several years, he was in slavery or in jail, but God never left him. In fact, several times in that story we're told, the Lord was with Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 2, verse 3, verse 5, verse 21, verse 23, and on. God was with him. God was with Joseph. Fast forward that a few years now to the story of David. Now, David was just a young shepherd boy, but God was with him and was able to help him to kill this giant called Goliath. With one stone and a slingshot, through God's help, he went on to become the greatest king that Israel had known. But shortly after David killed Goliath, he ran into trouble. The king of Israel, King Saul, became jealous of him because he was a mighty warrior and the people loved David. So eventually Saul sought to kill him, and David ran for his life, and he spent several years in the wilderness hiding from Saul. But God never left him. It was while David was running from Saul that he wrote some of those wonderful psalms. Psalm 18, for example, tells us, David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So the Bible is filled with stories of men and women who stood for God, faced difficulties and dangers and even death, but God was still with them. Esther, facing the wrath of the king of Persia to save the people, God was with her. Daniel spent a night in the lion's den. Then there were these three guys. A little girl was talking to her mother after Sunday school, and she said, honey, what did you study in Sunday school today? She said, well, we studied about real estate. She said, real estate? What do you mean? She said, yeah, you know, you're shack my shack in a bungalow. She said, no, you mean Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, she thought it was about real estate. Well, they were thrown into that fiery furnace. You see, this type of thing over and over and over again throughout Scripture, God's people facing difficulties and dangers and even death, but the underlying message in each one of these episodes was, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Yes, you're going to have difficulties, you're going to have dangers in life, but God will not abandon you. Adam Clark, in his commentary on this particular book of Hebrews, he notes that in the Greek there are several negatives in that statement, in that sentence. Literally, it would say, no, I will not leave you, no, neither will I utterly forsake you. Now, I realize in English, there's a grammatical rule that says that two negatives in a sentence turn the sentence into a positive statement. But in the Greek language, the more negatives that you have in a sentence, the more emphatic the negative statement becomes. So it says, no, I will not leave you. No, I will not forsake you. It's never going to happen. Never. No. Not going to happen. And so, we need to know God will not leave us. Why do I need to know that? Why do you need to know that God's not going to leave you and all the difficulties, all the problems, all the troubles that you think that you're going to have and you will have? Why do I need to remember that God will never leave me or never forsake me? Well, if I don't remember that, there's going to come a time, mark it down, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to have difficulties. You're going to have some frustrations. And you're going to wrestle with these. And you're going to wonder if it's really worth it all. Matter of fact, I feel like just throwing my cards in and quitting. This Christianity thing is just not working for me. It's working for other people, not working for me. If you don't realize that, then one of these days it's going to get so bad that you're going to have that particular thought in your mind, I might as well just quit. But what would that be tragic? You see, God has saved us for a purpose. He has specific things that He wants us to do in our lives that will make a difference in the world. And so when the world looks at us, God wants the world to see Him working in our life. Verse 1 of our scripture today. God says, love one another. Let brotherly love continue. The world should look at this congregation and see that we care about each other. They need to see that. They need to see that with every one of us. That's what the world needs to see. So God has a plan for our life. Verse number 2. Be good to strangers. In other words, don't forget to entertain strangers. Well, those that we know, we like them. We treat them good. What about those we don't know? We need to treat those with love and respect and concern. What about those, verse 3, in prison? We should even reach out to those in the world that others have rejected. Those would even be placed behind bars. Verse number 4, he says, honor your marriage vows. Don't commit adultery. We need people to take these vows seriously in the church. Christians need to take these vows seriously. And we can be trusted with the most intimate and serious commitment this world has. Verse number 5 says, don't put your faith in money. Instead, be satisfied with what you have. Lastly, we're not to be people who dedicate our lives in just piling up wealth, stacking one sack of coins on top of the other. We're not to put our trust in money, but in God. And our lives should be such that those around us realize that we don't trust in money. We don't trust in property. We don't trust in things. We trust in God. And then suddenly, God says, because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Verse 6, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And so all of these, God has a purpose for you. So when you get so frustrated and so down and out and you think you're going to quit and you're not going to be faithful to the church, you need to realize that God has a purpose for your life. He's not going to leave you, and He wants to see you do these things listed in verses 1 through 5. We need to get serious about that. I predict He's going to take care of you this year. With 100% accuracy, I can say that. Now then, throughout the Bible, God tells us, if you do what I tell you to do, things might get uncomfortable for you. You ever been uncomfortable? Some people are uncomfortable when it gets hot. Some people are uncomfortable when it gets cold. But what about those difficulties and problems and concerns that people have? Those people that lean on you. Those people that depend on you. Those people that take up a lot of your time. Those people that require a lot from you. And those that want a lot from you. Does it make you uncomfortable? If you do what I tell you, life is always going to be the way you want it to go. Sometimes your life will take a different direction. Sometimes you have things planned. When you leave home, sometimes you have your day planned out. And you, 30 or 45, an hour, 2 hours into the day, it has changed direction. Somebody has changed the direction of your life that day. And that's the way it happens a lot of days. If you do what I tell you, some people are going to give you a hard time. Anybody give you a hard time? Oh, man, I'm the mayor of my street. I've got a job, and it doesn't pay much. But anyhow, I'm the mayor of my street. I assume that responsibility, and it's a very tiring job. And I don't think I'm going to run for that job next year because it requires so much time. But there are people that will give you a hard time. And when you start trying to police the neighborhood, there are some that don't like it. And they want to give you a hard time, especially when they got the dog leash laws. And you got to keep your dog on a leash. And dogs are running around all over the place. So you go to them and tell them, hey, do you know, well, who do you think you are? I'm the mayor. I'm the mayor of this street. Are you the mayor of your street? Or your community? You're going to have all you. What if it really was true? What about the politician? Do we give him a hard time? We give the sheriff a hard time? The mayor? City councilman? County commissioners? We give him a hard time? Give the police a hard time? Sometimes we do. So there's going to come a time when people are going to give you a hard time. You may even feel like you're all alone. All alone. You can be at UT Stadium with 100,000 people and feel lonely. Feel lonely. I'm not talking about feeling lonely, but I'm talking about feeling alone. I'm the only one standing. I always say it's good when you bring up a subject. Are you willing to stand and be counted? Yeah. Are you willing to remain standing after you've been counted? That's the thing. And when you're the only one that will remain standing after you've been counted, you feel so alone. Standing for that which is right and good and proper and moral. You're going to have difficulties. You might even feel nobody will help you. Do what I tell you anyway, because I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know God's good all the time. He's good all the time. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Even when you got problems and difficulties and people don't like you, people give you a hard time, you feel like you're alone, He will help you. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. What? Rejoice and be glad? Why? Because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The writer C.S. Lewis once said, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I always knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you really feel comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Why would Lewis say that? Because you're not always going to be comfortable as a Christian. You are going to be in some uncomfortable situations and positions in life. Whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the community, whether it's at school, whatever. You're going to be uncomfortable. You won't necessarily be rich. You won't necessarily be prominent, maybe even powerful. But God promises, do what I tell you, no matter what happens, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You see, it's important to Him. It's important to Him. So important that He's watching to see if you do what He says do. That He can reward you with the blessing of heaven. See, He's watching. One of these days, you and I will stand before the judgment bar of God. And our life will be laid down and be cross-examined by the Word of God. He said, I want to give you heaven. So He's watching us to see if that's exactly what He wants to give us. As He watches us deal with the prickly things of life. If I do what God tells me to do, I might lose some things. The extreme would be I would lose my friends. Some people have lost their friends because they have stood for that which is right. Some have been made, life has been made difficult on the job because of what they stand for. You may have experienced some of that. Sometimes even the home and in your extended family, things are not really smooth like they used to be because of your stand that you've taken for Christ. And then my loved ones, yeah, that's all possible, Jesus said. Listen to Him. Matthew 19, verse 29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. That doesn't make any sense. If God isn't going to leave me or forsake me, why should I lose anything? It doesn't make sense, does it? Well, it's not a question of what I'll lose in life, because everything, I'm going to lose it anyway. It's all temporary. I'm going to lose it anyway. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20 in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." You can't keep anything in this life. The other day in the doctor's office, the fellow was working on me. He's a fellow that was raised in a cattle farm out west. And we were talking about how the country sayings that the old people say. And we were talking about all this kind of stuff. And it was amazing. His philosophy on life had been shaped by those old people and the old sayings that they had. And about things you can't take it with you. And he said, "You know what? I never have seen a U-Haul fall in a hearse to the cemetery. I never have seen a U-Haul with all their stuff in it." I said, "You know," somebody said to another fellow, "I wonder how much he left when he died." The guy said, "He left it all. He left all of it. So we're not going to take anything with us. It's all temporary. We're going to lose it." And so the question is, what we're going to give up for this life, but rather why? If you're going to lose it anyway, doesn't it make sense just lose it for something that's worthwhile? Would you be satisfied with just having a comfortable life, having all the things that you wanted, and life would mean you accomplished nothing? It meant that your life had no value at all, if it meant that you had become worthless. But God is saying He can change that. God has promised if we do what He tells us to do, He'll make our life count for something. Think about it this way. Read a story about a man. He was a wealthy man before the Depression of the 30s, 1930s. And he gave a sizable donation to a charity. Many of his advisors and close friends questioned his decision. Within a few weeks, the stock market crashed. And his bank closed its doors. Most of his wealth was evaporated. And looking back on what he lost, he thought to himself, quote, "If I'd known I was going to lose it all anyway, I'd have given more of it away." I was going to lose it, I'd just go ahead and give it away now. God says, do what I tell you to do. Give yourself away. How do you give yourself away? And you can be assured that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Because I'll never forsake you, you can count on the fact that you can give your life away for my sake. My sake. This is what Jesus said. Listen to Him. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Give yourself away for Him. Stand for Him. And He will bless you and He will never leave you. God promises that you'll make a difference in your life if you do that. God promises that to those who belong to Him. To those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. To those that are willing to repent of all their sins. To those that are willing to say with their mouth unashamedly and confess before people what they believe about the deed of Christ, and I believe He is the Son of God. Those who died of self-rule and self-will and give their body to be buried with the Lord by baptism into death. That's where He shed His blood, was in His death. Raised to walk in newness of life. He'll give you a new name, Christian. Add you to the church which He purchased with His blood. Remain faithful unto death. Do what He says. Claim the promise that He'll never leave you. And one day He'll give you the crown. One of these days. So God has not forsaken anyone who belonged to Him. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 43 through 46, the crowds mocked Jesus while He was on the cross. The crowd cried, "He trusted in God. Let God rescue Him now if He wants Him." For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who crucified him hurled insults at him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why had God forsaken Jesus while on the cross? God turned away. He couldn't look at sin. You see, that's the only one that God has ever forsaken. He made the promise to the Old Testament people, made the promise to you. Never forsaken anybody but His Son. The Bible teaches us that when Jesus died on the cross, He bore our sins, all of our sins. He carried our sins and our shame with Him as He died. And in that moment, Jesus felt the agony of being forsaken by God. There's a story about a lady who went to a gospel meeting. And after everything was over, the preacher was down front getting his Bible and material. She walked down and she started sobbing. And she said, I want to become a Christian. But I feel like that I have been so bad and I've done so many things wrong that I don't believe that God could save me. He was caught off guard with that and he stumbled and he said, well, do you know any passage of Scripture, any Scripture verse? She said, yes, I do. I know one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only forgotten Son. He thought in his mind, she didn't quote that right. She didn't quote that right. Forgotten Son. And he said, you know, it came to me. I asked her a question. You know why God forgot His Son? So He wouldn't forget you. So He wouldn't forget you. He forgot His Son. So He wouldn't forget you. So He wouldn't forget you, sir. And ma'am, He wouldn't forget you. Today, why not say yes to Him? Look at what all He's done for you, willing to give you all that we're going to talk about tonight, about heaven. He's willing to give that to you. It's free. It's not cheap. It costs you total commitment. Are you willing to make that commitment today? Maybe you've done so in the past and something's come between you and God. You've kind of got that I don't care that much anymore attitude. It's kind of been hard to get back and you're struggling with that. And you really realize that God has been so good to you. Look at what all He's blessed you with. Look at the health you have. Look at the family you have. Look at the faithfulness you have. Look at what you have. Look at all the comforts that you have. Where did all that come from? From your ability that God has given you to provide those things. So maybe today you need to claim the promise of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse of all unrighteousness. Would you do that today? Maybe you just need to ask for the prayers of the church. In whatever way you need to respond to Him today, He invites you, come. Then He waits to see what you'll do. Will you come? If so, I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.